God gave us a great day today, didn't he? Beautiful day, warm, nice. All right, well, it's good to see everyone today. But here's a joke. Let's see if you can get this riddle. Now, you should know this. This is a very easy one. Why did Noah have to punish and discipline the chickens on the ark? Oh, come on. Yes. That's a good one, but that's not the answer. No, because they were using foul language. And that's it for the jokes. All right, tonight before we start our study, actually, I'm going to make a statement that pertains to our study. And it goes like this. If you intend to accomplish anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must come to the place in your Christian life where you have a working knowledge of the Word of God. It's that simple. You have to understand that if you will ever do anything for God as a Christian, it can only be done through the book which reveals the God you serve and his plan for your life. Very important. Why? Because when God gave us the Bible, folks, he gave us the one absolute standard for the universe. There's my book. This is it. You know, I know Pastor talks about it all the time, but we can never get enough because nobody goes to this book anymore. Just a few good churches. And happy to be one of those. This is one of those. So our study goes, if you're in, go to John 14 if you're there already. We're going to look a little bit about the Holy Spirit this evening. And verse 26, John 14, 26. That was our last verse that we read tonight. My voice has changed. Now look at John 14, 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now that verse there defines one of the great attributes of the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. The Bible said it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. Therefore, your learning the Bible isn't based on your aptitude or your intelligence. It's based on your heart attitude toward the Word of God. Simply believing what God said. Now, you know from your, I'm sure that some of you know from your own experience that nobody's going to be taught who doesn't want to be taught, right? It's impossible to teach someone who doesn't want to learn. And a person with a stubborn, rebellious, know-it-all attitude will never learn anything. And it's the same with us and God. It's no different. The closer we become to the Holy Spirit of God, the easier it will be for him to teach us. But the more we insist on doing our own thing and going our own way, then it's going to be more difficult to learn from the Holy Spirit. Now, this verse in John 14:26 says the Holy Spirit will teach us how many things? All things. So you have to realize that if you're going to learn anything at all, it's not going to come from me or pastor or from this pastor or from any teacher or from any kind of commentary or from any kind of professor. Now, I said that to say this. God uses those people. Those are great instruments. We should take advantage of them. Good teachers. But the ultimate truth will come from who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as he takes God's word and places it in our hearts. He's our teacher. Come to John 16. A couple of chapters over, John 16 and verse 13. John 16, verse 13, it says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth, no error. So now we have to define what truth is. How do we define truth? What is truth? What is truth? How do we define it? Where do we get truth from? What is it? All right, where's God's word? Where's the verse? What's the verse that says that? John 17, 17. Remember, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Bible defines truth as the Word of God, the Word. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God will take the Word of God and lead us and guide us into all truth through His Word. Hold your places there in John and go back one book to Luke, Luke 24. Anybody know what Luke 24 is without going there first? What's Luke 24 about? What is it? Nope, you're close. It's the event, the road to Emmaus, where Jesus talked to two of his disciples. Remember that one? And we're going to begin at verse 44 here. And he said unto these two now, that says he says unto them, these two disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, in this passage, again, Jesus Christ is talking to two disciples and is explaining to them how he has fulfilled all the Old Testament passages, the Old Testament prophecies concerning himself. He's really teaching them. He's going to the Old Testament and he's teaching them all about himself. He's teaching them. In that time, there was no Holy Spirit yet because Jesus hasn't risen. There was no Pentecost. So he's teaching them like the Holy Spirit teaches us. Now think about that. Here are two men being taught the Bible in a personal, direct session by God, manifest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's got to be the most wildest thing. What do you think? But that's not enough. Oh, he's teaching them. But look at verse 20. Look at verse 45. Then opened he their what? Understanding that they might understand the scripture. So it's not enough just to teach and to learn. Somebody's got to open up our understanding. Don't you have a problem understanding the Bible sometime? Sure we do. So the Holy Spirit today, Jesus taught and helped them understand in his day. Today the Holy Spirit teaches us and helps us understand. Folks, listen, the Holy Spirit must open our understanding or we will never learn the Bible. Somebody's got to open up that understanding. And that understanding we get from the Holy Spirit of God is on the basis, listen, of our heart attitude. You're not going to understand anything if you're always questioning the Bible. I know I'm talking to the choir here. But people wonder why they can't understand and don't get anything because they don't really believe what it says in the Bible. Even King James people, they always put a doubt in, well, that can't be right. No, our heart attitude says, if that's what's in there, that's what's in there. I believe it, God said it, that's it. Now, we may not understand everything, but what does the verse say? Does the verse say this? Yes. Well, that's what the verse says. Now, to understand it, now to interpret it is another thing. We have to admit what the verse says, right? So we have to have the right attitude. And there's a classic example of this in Luke 23, one chapter back, Luke 23. Luke 23 is Jesus is here arrested, going to the Calvary, and he goes before Pilate, and Pilate couldn't find any fault with him, right? Three times he says he couldn't find no fault with him, so where does he go? Where does he send him? Where does he send him after that? Herod. Thank you. Sends him to Herod. This is where we are now. Luke 23, verse 8. It says, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. Why? For he was desirous to see him of a long season. He wanted to see him a long time. Why? Because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words. Oh, well, Jesus, what did he do? Look at the next part. Jesus answered him nothing. Why? Because he knew that Herod wasn't out seeking truth. He's not going to cast his pearls before a swine. That's a hard thing to do, to know when somebody's serious and when somebody's not serious. Right, Pastor? You all talk to people that make fun of the Bible, they make fun of Jesus Christ, make fun of our Christianity, and they ask questions maybe. It says there in verse 9, he questioned with him many words. I can just imagine some of the questions he asked. Can God make a rock he can't pick up? You know, how many feet does a caterpillar have? You know, things like that. He's not interested in truth. We have to know when to answer a fool according to his folly, or when not to answer a fool according to his folly. That's a tough thing. Jesus knew that Herod had a wicked heart, though. And Herod cared nothing but the truth, so God didn't care anything about him. And when he approached Jesus Christ with those questions, Jesus Christ didn't give him a time of day. Answered any questions. He knew his heart. Listen, folks, the same thing holds true for anyone who approaches the Bible with a scholarly, egotistical attitude, whether saved or lost. The same is true today. God's not going to teach you anything. If you put a big question mark and question the verses, question what's being said, or anything like that, you're not going to learn anything. Take it from me. Now, I want you to understand how important it is to understand the things I've just talked to you about. Most people think that the Bible is just another book, a collection of writings put into one book, and like just another book, just like any other book. We don't really know the weight of what God has given us here. And most of us, even Christians, we don't know the magnitude of the book we have. We just don't know it. We don't know our Bibles, but we just have it on our coffee table for people to come over and see us. You know, we don't know the book. So let's look at a great passage here. Back to John 21, and see what the Lord says about see what John said about this book. John 21. We're going to look at how important it is to understand why the Bible should have first priority, number one priority in our life. We're going to look at that. All right? Now, we know that the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us into all truth, and he helps us to understand it with a right heart attitude. Now, let's see what John 21, verse 24 says. This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. But look at verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, that which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. That verse, folks, is a blockbuster. You know what John just said there? He said that if all the things, everything that Jesus ever said and did, were put together and written and put together in books, that there wouldn't be enough room in the whole world to contain them. Now, can you imagine what Jesus said and did? If they were all written down in the 3.5 years he had, if they were all written down, there wouldn't be enough books, there wouldn't be enough room in the whole world to contain them. That's a lot of things he said and did. So, if that's true, and it is, then the book God gave us must be the exact thing he wants us to have in the day and age in which we live. It has to be the exact thing he wants us to have. Now, people talk about revelations from God, you know, other revelations from God other than the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and many other things. That is totally false. That's all wrong. It's all contained in one book, and every word is important. All contained in one book. This verse says that Jesus Christ said and did a lot of things that aren't recorded in our Bible. Now it says that about Paul, too. Paul wrote 13 or 14 books. It depends on if you think he wrote Hebrews. But he wrote a lot of other books. They're not contained in the Bible either. And there are a lot of other writings, a lot of other books that people wrote not contained in the Bible. God chose to record exactly what he wanted in this book for his own purpose and for his own reasons. Now, sometimes we study the Bible and we think there are things in their Bible that really don't mean that much. You know, I don't understand this, all these genealogies, you know, that Old Testament, some of those Old Testament books, Zechariah, oh my goodness, Zechariah. How about explaining Melchizedek, you know? Well, there's no use for them. That doesn't mean much. Wrong. God took everything he said and everything he did in the Old Testament and New Testament and handpicked exactly what he wanted to say and what he wanted us to have word by word. And so the only safe way, I think, to approach the Bible is with the attitude that every word is the most important word in the universe. You say, why do you say that? I think this is the way God looks at it. John 21:25 proves it. Of all the things he could have recorded, of all the things he could have recorded, what he said and what he did, this is it right here. Of all the things that could have contained, all the world could have contained, all the books, this is what he has for us. So every word has to be important. Everything he says in this book has to be important. That one truth, folks, should make a difference in our life. We should have a different perspective on it. Suddenly every word becomes important because it's the exact word God picked out of everything else he had and placed it exactly where he wanted it. Now you think about all the everything Jesus Christ did in the four Gospels. But you think about so many other things that wasn't recorded. He recorded just what he wanted us to know. So the Holy Spirit teaches us, he guides us, he gives us an understanding, but that doesn't happen automatically. There's a condition placed upon it. We have to have a right heart attitude in believing everything that we read. You know, the Bible is really not a difficult book to understand. Very not difficult book, but it is a difficult book to believe. It is a difficult book to believe. And the only thing we have to do to unlock the riches of the Word of God is just believe what you read, where you read it, when you read it. It's that simple. Finally, let's go back to Luke 24. Luke 24. Jesus is he's on the road to Emmaus. And he meets these two disciples at the beginning there. They didn't know who he was. He didn't make himself known to them. They're talking about what's happening in Jerusalem the past few days, how the Messiah was crucified, and how the women went to the tomb, and they said that he was alive, but they didn't see him alive, these two disciples. And verse 25 comes. Let's see. Luke 24:25. He said to them, O fools, and what? Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You notice he didn't say slow of mind. He said slow of heart. He didn't say they needed to go to Bible college and learn some Greek and Hebrew. No, they were slow of heart to believe everything the prophets had said about him. That's the point. And look at look at verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then verse 31, he finally opened their eyes in verse 31, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us what? Scriptures. That's the kind of heartburn we need. That's the right kind of heartburn we have, spiritual heartburn. We have that attitude when the pastor opens up the Bible, somebody's expounding the Bible. Boy, there's nothing like a good Bible study, is there? A good message, a good sermon. And so that's what we need to do. You take the Bible just as it says, just as it is, where it says it, when it says it, every single word. Now, people don't, even King James people, I was talking to somebody a little while back, and the King James Bible says it's got a satyr and unicorns in it. And people said, well, that can't be the right word because they're mythological creatures. Do you ever study the satyr and the unicorn? They're real. If the Bible says that there was a unicorn and there was a satyr, there's a unicorn and there's a satyr. Period. You see what I'm saying? Bible says it. Our King James Bible said there's one. I believe it. Now I got to study it and see what it's all about. You know what I mean? So that's what we have to do. So we got to take every word simply at face value. What does the Bible say? Well, let's pray. Father, we just are so thankful for your word. And we just pray, Father, as your people, we would take the Bible seriously. Simply believe, just like the apostles did. We simply believe your word, Father. Help us to do that, not to question it, not to doubt it, but to take it at face value. We love you, Lord, tonight, and we love your word. Help us to learn more about it, learn more from it. And most of all, Lord, help us to glorify you through it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.